Theoretically, we're on page Gimel, the bottom of the right side. Anyway, so the last time, on Friday, what we learned was Rav Chaim Vital was introducing us a little bit to the concept and the sort of the relationship between Nigla and Nister, the revealed part of Torah and the hidden part of Torah. Now, what we're going to see is that, again, this is an idea that we mentioned before already, that all the different parts of Torah correspond to different universes, different dimensions. Everything is created from Torah, so the different layers of reality reflect and correspond to different layers of Torah. So Kabbalah, that's what we saw last time. That Kabbalah is connected to the dimension that's called Atzilus. So it's called Torah Satzilus. Torah Satzilus. And what is Torah in that dimension? Torah in that dimension is Hashem coming out of hiding. It's Hashem moving forward. It's basically, we'll see about this later, it's basically all divine names. It's Hashem's names, because that's what a name is, right? When you call someone by their name, it means you get their attention. It's like their mind is elsewhere, and then you grab their mind, and they're sort of now paying attention to you, and they sort of come out of their, you know, inner state, and they come outward. They're now engaged with that which is on the outside. So names always represent a vehicle through which something moves from hiddenness to outward, you know, to become more revealed. So Torah Satzilus, the Torah of Kabbalah, is the divine experience of Hashem moving out Kiviyachal of Himself and moving to a revealed way, and that's through His names. So, in that place of Atzilus, it's not like anyone else is getting Hashem's attention, right? But it's Hashem calling out His own names Kiviyachal. So that's what Kabbalah is in its pristine state. And even down here, when a person's learning Kabbalah, what you're learning is about Shemus HaKadosh. You're learning about Hashem's names, and you're trying to engage in Torah on that level. That's what Torah is in Atzilus. And then, as Torah descends forward and downward into the lower worlds, then it moves. Then it becomes. Then Torah takes on a new shape and a new form. That's called Nigla. That's called the revealed part of Torah, and that. We're going to see soon that specifically he's connecting it to of all Nigla, he's specifically using like Mishnah as the example, contrasting that with Pnimis HaTorah. Because in truth, Mishnah is the first text that we have in Torah Shebaal Peh. So the first, you know, to really accentuate the difference between Nigla and Nister, you see it in Mishnah. Which is the first text of Torah Shebaal Peh, because one of the differences is as follows. Since Torah of Atzilus is really, it's what the Torah is on God's plane, which is Him moving outward, and God is one, so the entire subject matter of Kabbalah is therefore unified. And there's no machlegis, and it's not like Rameir says this or Shimon says that. It's absolutely one. Whereas Nigla, once the Torah moves into lower dimensions, and he specifically connects it to Yetzirah, the dimension of Yetzirah, which is where Mishnah takes shape, so then already you have machlokes, you have disagreements, and it's back and forth. So the idea is, that's what he's talking about, that Torah is really this, but when a person only engages in Nigla, so then it's very easy to sort of lose sight of where it's all coming from. That's what we're going to see now.
Is there
a
focus in Shemus, like what Shemus are, and like how to put together the permutations and all that?
So the thing is like this. It's complicated, because in Arizal himself, you're not going to find any machlokes. To simplify the idea, it would be like all the there's machlokes in Rishayim, Rashi and Tosfos, right? They disagree with each other, and they're disagreeing about a passage of the Gemara. So the passage of the Gemara, like that's, you know, the Gemara is like the source. But the truth is, even in Gemara, there's a machlokes, right? So that dynamic of there being like a machlokes between later commentaries, between Rashi and Tosfos, that you'll find in Kabbalah. Again, I'm simplifying it, because even then, the truth is that it's not really machlokes either. They're just different bechinas and different ways how to see things. But even theoretically, let's say you were to say that there are disagreements in Kabbalah between later Mekubalim, but what they're disagreeing about, which is an interpretation of Kisvei Ari, the Kisvei Ari, there's no machlokes. So the Kisvei Ari, there's no disagreement. So the fundamental text of Nigla is a text of disagreement. But the fundamental text of Kabbalah, which is Arizal, or before that, the Zohar Kadosh, there is no disagreement. And so even if you have disagreements later on, that's just interpreting the main text. But the main text itself is without disagreement. Whereas Nigla, you'll have machlokes in later on about interpreting the main text. And the main text is also full of disagreement. So the fundamental print, that's one of the differences. Now again, it is a little bit of an oversimplification, because even when you'll find disagreements in later Mekubalim, even then it shouldn't be seen as really a disagreement. There's different ways how to sort of view the same thing. So every Beis Medrash sort of views it from their lens. Like even last night, again, I'm just referencing because I don't want to get, you know, too much in the weeds, but even last night I referenced quickly how when the Arizal talks about, you know, by Pesach, for example, katnus coming after godless. So I gave an example of how the Sfaradish Mekubalim engage in that discussion versus, let's say, Chassidus, you know, how Chassidus would engage with it. And so the Sfaradish Mekubalim engage with it in a more, you know, three-dimensional, as if we're dealing with, you know, not physical Chas v'Shalom, but they articulate it in a language as if you're dealing with like structures and physical things and three-dimensional shapes and so on. Whereas Chassidus deals with it in the soul. And that's, so you could say it's a machlokes. But it's not really a machlokes. It's different ways how to experience any reality. The Sefer Yetzirah, for example, tells us that everything that Hashem created to be experienced on three different planes. In Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. In place, in person, in the soul, and in time. So that's not a machlokes. So the holiest Jew, the Kohen Gadol, in the holiest place, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, goes to the holiest day of the year, which is Yom Kippur. That's not a machlokes between, those are three different viewpoints, three different, experiences of the same nekuda. What is that nekuda? It's undefinable. It's like, what is the essence of, I don't know, it's the holiness of that, is a certain holiness that makes itself known by a certain place with a certain person at a certain time. So the Kabbalah is the same thing. The light of Pnimius HaTorah also has to be reflected and identified in place, person, and time. So for example, just in a very broad, sweeping sense, the Rashash and the Sfaradish Mekubalim, because they engage with Kabbalah more geometrically, as if it's like structures. That's more the place. That's the Olam of Kabbalah. Chassidus is the Nefesh. The Vilna Gaon and the Ramchal, I guess you can say also, maybe more primarily the Ramchal, is more Shana, to see the Kisveri as a roadmap for history, of how these things, of how Hashem runs the world throughout history. I say history in a large sense, and even like in a smaller scale, you know what I mean, a person's life. That's how the Ramchal and the Vilna Gaon sort of view the Kisveri as a roadmap, huh? The Leshem also from that Beis Medrash, like seeing it as a roadmap for the process of history. So it's not a machlokes. That's just different ways how to engage with a certain thing of Olam Shana and Nefesh. Now again, that's one way. How do you, so if you have machlokes, so it's like I mentioned last night. Well, how do you define the idea of katnus after godless? So the Sfaradish Mekubalim view, they approach it more structurally. Chassidus approaches it more internally. Again, that's not a disagreement. Those are just different ways how to engage with the same thing. Again, to be fair, so even within the Sfaradish Mekubalim, very often you'll find one Mekubal going this way, one Mekubal going that way, and saying different things. But again, then you break it down enough, you'll be able to see how it's just different viewpoints of the same thing. Whereas in Nigla, you know, in Nigla, there's an idea of Elav Elav Dibur L'Kuchayim, that every opinion is right. But in Nigla, the way that we understand that, the only way to really understand what it means, Elav Elav Dibur L'Kuchayim, is by introducing Pnimius HaTorah, right? So it's like, when you introduce Pnimius HaTorah, then you realize, okay, Rabbi Shimon's neshama, I don't mean Rabbi Shimon in Kabbalah, I'm saying like, Rabbi Akiva's neshama is coming from this place, and Rabbi Shmuel's neshama is coming from this place. And because of that, each one has a certain shita in Nigla. But that's already making Kabbalah out of it. You know what I'm saying? So if you just purely isolating Nigla, what is the idea of Elav Elav Dibur L'Kuchayim mean? So the simple shot of Elav Elav Dibur L'Kuchayim means that they both have some truth to them. there's some truth in the Shita Rabbi Shmuel, some truth in the Shita Rabbi Akiva, whatever, I'm giving as, you know, Beisil, Beishan, whatever the Machlekes is, you know, or Moshe Feinstein, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, whatever. They both have some truth. That's what that's a simple shot of Elim. They're both coming from a valid idea. They're both coming with a valid, you know, sort of way of thinking. The results are different, and therefore the results are like, you know, one is correct, one is not. But there's some truth to both, to the process of both. But so in Nigla, there's, again, in pure Nigla, disagreements are disagreements. That's it. Pnimis HaTorah refuses to acknowledge that. Pnimis HaTorah does not want to see things as divided up. That's the main principle. Nigla, the mind of Nigla, a mind that's trained to learn Nigla, what it does is that it breaks things apart. So you have one Mishnah, which seems pretty solid and fine, and then Nigla, you know, the mind of Nigla comes and breaks it down into pieces. You know, one Gemara, pretty simple, the mind of Nigla comes, breaks it down. There's a Rashi, there's a Taisvus, and two Dinim. Maybe even three dinim. You know, I said the more dinim you can make of it, the better. The more organized in different parts, and instead of it just being a mishmash, to break it down. That's what Nigla does. Nistar is the opposite. Pnimis HaTorah is the opposite mode. Pnimis HaTorah looks at things that are of separate pieces and puts them together. So it's a whole different just way of thinking. But again, that's reflective of Torah of Atzilus versus the Torah of Yetzir, which is the Torah of Nigla. The Torah of Atzilus is unified by its nature. So whenever you introduce and inject Pnimis HaTorah to anything, it's going to become unified. Again, this is what I mentioned, I think we mentioned this in other times, that like that's why it's difficult. You know, what we try to do is to unite Nigla and Nistar a lot, but it's not a simple thing to do, because especially, like, you know, I speak to people that are a little bit on the younger side, you know, or young in years or young and also just in experience. Sometimes it's hard to do that right away, because it's different Meichen. It's completely different Meichen. Nigla, the Meichen of Nigla is to break things apart. The Meichen of Nistar is to unify things together. So if you try to use both that Meichen at the same time, you're going to come up with a power of, you know, half mashed, half solid. It's just not going to work. So the approach is you train your mind to work in Nigla well, and that's what you use in the sugya first. And you really break it down to all of its components in the right way, and then you introduce the Meichen of Nistar to then take those broken down components and unite them. And then the sum total of that is much greater. It's much greater. It's much deeper, because now you have instead of a single celled organism, you have a multi-celled organism working together. Like, that's a much more, like, again, when just Nigla, so you had one big homogeneous mixture, right? One big homogeneous thing. Nigla comes and just breaks it into a million pieces. Nistar would just bring it back to a one single homogeneous thing, which is still, it's not, the tachlis is for it to be many different parts and now working together and to become a complex organism.
I think both, like, brain, mathematical,
it's ways of thinking, certainly.
One, the way you think, and one, the way you feel.
I don't think it has to do with fear. I mean, no. It's different ways of thinking. It's different ways of thinking of how the mind works. Again, all Torah is supposed to ultimately, again, this is not a Nistar thing. The old Torah is supposed to ultimately affect the person and change the way they feel and the way they experience things and sensitize a person and so on and so forth. But in terms of engaging in a sugya, you know what I mean? So that's it's with thinking. You know, it's, again, but it takes time to be able to do that, because you know usually, like, in the beginning, like, you have to just think Nigla, break down, you know, learn the sugya as best as you can, you know, like you anyway would do, and then when you bring Nistar into it, so then those different components, then you're able to unify them, but not by a way of, like, just returning it to one big mass. Now you have moving parts. It's like the example I've given is that there are certain basic rules of what a infrastructure spiritually is supposed to be made of. What are the moving pieces of the olamis? And that you should be able to find in every sugya. I've mentioned this other times. You should be able to find in every sugya. So if every sugya in Torah is ultimately a spiritual infrastructure to allow God into our world, because that's what Torah Vatzilus is, right? Torah Vatzilus is infrastructures of Shemus HaKadoshim to allow God into the world. So what's Nigla? Nigla is just a disguise of that. It's just an outer layer hiding what that infrastructure is. But they should be like skin tight with each other, you know? So that means that every sugya, you should be able to find one opinion that is the embodiment of a particular part of that infrastructure. And so since every infrastructure has a chesed and a gevurah and a teferis, and every infrastructure, you know, whatever the details are, so every sugya is going to have to reflect that. So you're going to have to, that's why you need machlokes. That's why, again, the goal of Nistar is not, when you infuse Nistar into Nigla, it's not that then everything comes back to one big mass. No, because the infrastructure to allow Hashem into the world, which is Atzilus, is not one big mass. It's of different elements, so to speak, and it's different components. All just like a person, right? We're made of different elements, and that's what makes us a person. That's what makes us. But there's one. You're one person made of different parts, and that's what makes you special. That's what makes you not an amoeba. We're not just 5'10" amoebas, right? That's not the Rabban Hashem wanted. And so so then when you view from Nistar, then all of a sudden the different shitas of Nigla are absolutely vital, you know, in making it a really fully functional and developed organism, so to speak. And that's what the Yom Satara can do. But it takes time to do that.
It's hard to roof it, what the Baal Shem said, and then different Rabbonim really spend a lot of time on it. On Tzirufi. Much like been by Shira, by the Matl.
Yeah.
And
Gematrias, you mean, stuff like that?
Not just Gematrias, just bringing the whole world together.
Yeah.
And it seems that, like you said, there are the many parts that Nigla separates.
Yeah.
There, compared to Profession, does it also.
Yeah.
And it just seems like the whole world is where it is, and he's connecting it.
That's what Nistar does. Nistar is
where it is.
Exactly. It's not breaking it down into, but it's a unifying force.
The Echad is there.
Yeah.
And he's showing, they're showing, that, again, not that I really have but they're showing
a unified force, yeah.
In its place.
I heard this from someone that told me the name of Ramesh Shapiro, that Ramesh Shapiro said that someone was like going into Kirov and he wanted to know how to, he doesn't have all the answers. Like, what does he do when people ask him questions that he doesn't have answers to? So Ramesh Shapiro laughed and he said, you don't have to ever answer their questions. You don't really have to ever do it. Sometimes, you know. They said the main thing is, if you show them a unified construct of Torah, like not disassembling the different pieces of it, but you show how all the different pieces of Torah are unified under one, you know, one force, one that'll do its job. Now that could be that's harder than answering the specific questions.
And there's a clip that a lady comes to her and she's being sent as a shlichus somewhere, and she's afraid. She said, I'm going to go by myself.
Right.
He laughed and chuckled.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going with you.
So that's, again, that idea of one person being here. But
I think the bedrock is being built on Emunah. If you see after a shiur of this Tzirufim, and Ratzi goes on for 3 hours, and I've been lost in the dirt, in the beginning. The point is, though, that at the end, he's with you, and that he's building your Emunah.
Well, that's called, again, like we said before, I guess we'll stop with this, but that's what we said before you even got started. But, you didn't have any copies anyway today, so
right. No, fairly.
You got copies, okay, fine. You got one. See, right, the one person that's keeping me a Torah Shabbat Peh is one. Anyway, no, so that really, the truth is, that's what we've been talking about before, is that even Kabbalah, even Pinimus HaTorah, is really just the closest layer to the real truth, which is the neshama of Torah, which is Emunah and the Shechinah Daisha and just and Bittul and Avos Yisrael. Like that's really, so it's just a matter of getting that real essence pulsating throughout the system. The first layer that it, you know, makes contact with, that it pulsates right next to, is Pnimius HaTorah. That has that unifying force. But even then, like I said, it's not the Tachlis. You know, a person can have a, you know, can do this unifying Nigla and make this wow, shir, blah, blah. I'm not Chas V'Shalom, those are Tzaddikim. But you could have a person that does that, and then, like, at the end, it's like, okay, you know, Ani V'Avsiyoy, right? So I show the unifying force in the whole universe. Who is that unifying force? That's me. Right, so it's like, it can be such a thing. So you know, right? That's what tzaddik is. So, like I said, but again, going back to what I said before, in when a person only engages in nigla, then that could be then yeshus can be the default mode. So you have to sort of fight against that. With nister, the default mode of nister is to make a person humble and more elevated and so on. So you have to sort of fight against that to hold on to your ego, which you could do. You could do that. You know what I mean, but. But I don't know why, but you could do that.
Comes out very obviously.
And yeah, it but again, that's what I'm saying. You would have to actively fight it. Yeah. You have to actively fight it. But that's not the talk. Yeah.
Rabbi always says when you have two pieces to unite them, you have to find the thing that's bigger than both of them, right? Yeah. So if you have Mr. and Nigla, there's obviously something
higher. Yes, 100%. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's the tachlis. That's the goal. Okay, there's a shem. I wish I had a lift to get Pesach Sheni. So it's the chosh day for davening. You have to daven today for things that you want. I'm like, bemis. Like things that you really want. And daven to Hashem and say, you know, lomani gora. So daven for that.